Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ted Ross at the controls and Carissa at the phones. And we're looking forward to a good hour today. And just want to do a quick reminder, if you somehow have been out of the area all summer long or something, you're finally coming back to reality, that we do have our fall share beginning tomorrow. Next 3 days, pretty vitally important to the ongoing ministry outreach that we call Faith Radio. And it's a network of stations all across the upper Midwest. And so wherever you are, if you're in the Twin Ports in Duluth or in the Red River Valley or in the Sioux Empire or Waterloo, Cedar Falls or in Madison or Minneapolis, St. Paul area, know that your Faith Radio station is on the air because of the generosity and support of listening friends just like you. So I want to say thank you if you've already given. If you haven't yet signed up or gotten on board, you have the opportunity to do that. And if you sign up here before our share gets underway, we do have the drawing for the iPad loaded with the ministry apps.
Still available.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I hope that you'll check that out. MyFaithRadio.com is the place where you can get details. MyFaithRadio.com. And when you're there, you may have a question for today's guest, too. You can always go to the Connecting Faith Show page and click on the connect there, the email link, and we'd love to talk with you because we're talking grandparenting today. Extreme grandparenting is the title of the book we're referencing. It's from Dr. Tim and Kimmel and his wife, Darcy, and we've got Tim on the line with us. So, Ted, you've had grandparents and over. Actively involved in your daughters, right? They've spent some time, was it this summer, right, on a little vacation?
Yeah, my wife's dad and stepmom are RVers full-time. Okay. They call them escapees, so they travel around, but they drop anchor here in the summertime, and they like warm climates, in the winter. Yeah. So, great to have them around. They're actively involved in their lives. The girls go out and stay with them a night or two in the RV, have a blast.
Sure. Yeah, we've got, and I have adult children and have five grandchildren, so we're going to learn between us about maybe how to do it better.
It's really timely, too, because yesterday, I think you're aware of this, it was Grandparents' Day yesterday.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there you go.
I think I took an extra nap, I think.
But no, actually, we burned it.
we were engaged in the grandparenting process yesterday, celebrating. So, well, let's get to welcome today's guest. To no stranger to Faith Radio, but happy to have him on with me here on Connecting Faith, Dr. Tim Kimmel, one of America's top advocates speaking for the family today, executive director of Family Matters, and he's written a number of books, 50 Ways to Really Love Your Kids, Raising Kids for True Greatness, Grace-Based Parenting, Basic Training for a Few Good Men, Little House on the Freeway, The High Cost of High Control, Raising Kids to Turn Out Right. He and his wife have done a number of video series. They speak frequently in the Family Life Today, the Marriage Weekends, and the I Still Do events. And we're honored to have him on with us today to talk extreme grandparenting, the right of your life. Tim, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, thanks for letting me be part of the show and to be able to saddle up with you guys.
We're going to put on our helmets because on the front cover of the book, it's got the bike helmets, and it looks, I haven't taken my bike out enough. But
it's so easy to think that grandparenting is part of, it means that we're part of the past and that we're on cruise control and we're taking the easy way out and it should be anything but that. We've come into the most of us people that have grandparents. We're coming into the fourth quarter of our time here on Earth, and if we're people followers of the way, the truth, and the life, we should have a fourth quarter strategy that should bring our best A game that we've ever had to the center stage. And one of the great things is when we can actually bring that A game to our grandkids.
Mm-hmm. We're going to unpack a lot of the issues that are summarized in this great book, Extreme Grandparenting. By the way, we've got some copies to give away, four or five copies we'll give away. So I want to encourage you, if you are a grandparent or maybe just want to talk about your grandparents and their involvement, investment in your kids' lives, love to have you join us at 877-93-FAITH. We'll open up the phone lines right away. Call up, sign up to get a copy of the book, and we'll give those away, those who join us on air today, 877-933-2484. Tim, does grandparenting sort of have a different connotation or meaning, do you think, today as it did maybe even just a generation or two ago?
Well, just about everything does now, Neil. We've so redefined life and relationships and family in the past 25, 30 years. But there's some things about what it used to mean that we need to bring back, and there's some things about what it could be that I think we have a lot of added assets that we can bring to the center stage. But there's one thing that has not changed, and that is grandkids are God's reward for us not selling our own kids on Craigslist. That's the good news, and they truly are a reward. And we have a sacred trust now, I think, to use our influence in our life wisely. But don't you think, though, that when we weren't in such a fast-paced, hurried lifestyle world where technology didn't define us so much, that families maybe had a little more connection and there was a little more interdependence on one another in the past, and that seems to go away? Because I mean, think about it. Typical grandparents today, they're just as much on the run and on the fly as their kids are.
Yeah, that's true. And many times not necessarily nearby, as families have sort of spread out all around the country. And
right.
You know, that's maybe one of the, I know you talk about some myths, or you call them sacred cow tipping, but things like, you know, that just because the rooms are empty doesn't mean that you don't have any responsibility in the family anymore. But some people kind of look at that, don't they? I mean, there is, I guess, one approach to grandparents as well. We'll let our kids raise their kids, and we're done.
Yeah. And it's so sad, because when you look at this from the lens of the Bible, God meant for us to, as we got older, to become much more influential as matriarchs and patriarchs, as pace setters and coaches from the life experience we have. So when we have this attitude, okay, I've launched my kids, they're on their way, they're raising their own kids, and all I want as far as a grandparent-grandchild relationship is something that's very convenient to me, that satisfies my ego needs, but doesn't necessarily disrupt my peace and tranquility. I think it's a very upside down and frankly a self-focused attitude that I think not only robs the grandchildren, but I think it robs us of a great chance to make a difference.
You know, I was interested that just in reading your book, I hadn't, I guess, thought about it so much, but you can certainly see situations where you talk about one or the other, maybe challenges is that we, noble causes get out of balance, where, you know, there's some particularly maybe that are, you know, listening to even this program, devoted followers of Christ, and say, well, you know, once we're retired from work, we have opportunity to do some ministry, but maybe to the detriment of not being around for family or grandchildren.
Right. I mean, obviously, I think our number one ministry, if we truly want to be people who are committed to the bigger kingdom story of the Bible, God is moving His kingdom in on earth through the church, right? So we want to be committed to the church. Well, this is where I think definitions really come into play. My favorite definition of the family is by the late Pope John Paul. I'm from a Protestant background, but this one time I'll lean over in his direction very strongly. He called the family the domestic church. He defined it as a domestic church. Now think about this, and Ted's listening too, and Neil. The domestic church means that it's the smallest church out there. And our local churches that we all go to are a collection of these domestic churches, and they're only as strong and healthy as the strength and health of those families showing up. So if we are now grandparents and we have been walking with God for decades now, I mean, just like our churches need really wise older people speaking into them, so much more our domestic churches. And it's a, just a great chance. So I can't think of any better ministry if you're prioritizing than the ministry we can have to our own family. And I frankly think it's the one we will all have the most influence on the big picture of history is through our own family.
Tim, I know you've written a number of books and been, speaking, and your wife Darcy have been, part of Promise Keepers and, Family mm-hmm. Life Today and, all those things and speaking and writing for many years. I'm just curious, as your, as I think it was Charlie Shedd always talked about, he used to mm-hmm. write books and speak on parenting until he had kids. But I'm wondering, has your views on grandparenting changed maybe as you have you have, I think, five now in your family, right?
Yeah, we have five grandkids. You know what's interesting is that early on when we started working with kids and families, we started to say, boy, grandparents have such a great opportunity here. And so we started kind of taking in data and studying this and looking at it from a biblical filter, but we never felt we could weigh in until we were in the inner sanctum of grandparenting ourselves and knew the secret handshake. And that's why we waited so long to write the book. But I'm telling you, my view on grandparenting is only solidified as I've got older. But here's the thing, probably let's throw this thing out early. Is that, see, everything for me when it comes to parenting is ran through a filter early on, through the filter of God's grace, God's applied grace. What does that look like showing up in relationships? And when we can make that happen in our marriage, happen in our parent-child, and then happen a couple of generations down as grandparents, everything. I mean, the influence and impact we can have for the gospel and for the kingdom of God is huge. And that's what this book unpacks, is how that will work.
We're going to continue to discuss it in a moment because we'll deal with some of those important issues, blended families, broken families, divorce. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about intervening versus interfering. Some people sitting up closer to the radio on that one, maybe. We'll talk about positive spoiling and long-distance grandparenting, some other things. We'll get into some of the important assets that a grandparent has and what every child needs as we talk with Dr. Tim Kimmel. We're talking extreme grandparenting. Love to have you join the conversation. We've got four or five copies of the book to give away. This would be a great encouragement to you or your family. And I know that you, if you're not a grandparent, you know someone who is that could really benefit from this and just maybe help you understand and encourage your grandparents in your family. So give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We'll take your calls. We'll sign you up for one of the books as well. Dr. Tim Kimmel is Executive Director of Family Matters, and he's authored a number of great books, The High Cost of High Control, Raising Kids Who Turn Out Right, 50 Ways to Really Love Your Kids, and much more. He and his wife, Darcy, have ministered for decades and are joining us today. And it doesn't sound quite, I mean, they are veteran ministry leaders, let's put it that way. And they're also grandparents. So we'll talk grandparents, grandkids. You can brag on your kids if you like, grandkids, and love to have you join the conversation. More with Tim Kimmel in a moment. The joy and the excitement, the impact of grandparenting.
Yes.
Extreme Grandparenting is the title of the book, The Ride of Your Life. It's from Dr. Tim Kimmel and his wife, Darcy, written that. We've got some copies to give away, and we've got some friends that are queuing up to join the conversation. So hang on. We'll get to your calls here in a few minutes. Tim, I want to talk a little bit about. I was showing Ted some pictures of my grandkids during the break because, and I'd love to show them to you, but it's probably we probably can't get that worked out here right away. But
we can start texting them to each other. Okay. There. I know.
let's talk grandparent assets. You list a few things that are maybe grandparents really have something unique to offer. Let's talk about that.
Well, I think of it. We have maturity. We've been here longer than anybody else in the family tree. And hopefully we've allowed the things that we've gone through turn into some things that can help frame life. We have experience along the way. So we can come alongside them. And when they're on the front side of raising their kids, because I don't know what it was like with you guys when you started, we saw our parents, we've never done this before. And there are a lot of things made us anxious. And now, as you look back on it, you realize that, hey, the kids will eventually go to sleep at night. You will be able to you'll eventually feed everybody. You can't actually live on a shoestring. You can actually, a shoestring budget. You can do that. So maturity, experience, perspective. Hopefully, as we've got to an age where we can see a much bigger picture and we don't allow these momentary setbacks in family, we can see that they are many times momentary. Let's say your kids have a prodigal child, and this is a very frightening and draining time. But you can see that in a bigger thing where God can even use in this season in this kid's life to draw them to something great. And then assistance, and this is a tough one though, because our kids do need our assistance from us. They're carrying a heavy burden, but we don't want to be taken advantage of either. No one would suggest that. But I know some parents that they only want to have contact with their grandkids when it's really convenient. And their own children just say, what's wrong? Why would you want to see your grandchildren more? And they feel hurt or sometimes resentful. We can give assistance to them. And then some of our kids need a lot of help, especially like if they have a special needs child or they just have a lot of young ones or they have a kid going through a tough time. And I tell some stories about grandparents that intervened to help when the parents just couldn't seem to connect to the kids' hearts. And then obviously we have that wonderful asset called love. But it needs to be a love with fewer strings attached, a love that really comes in and it's really magnanimous all the way.
And is there one of the trends that maybe tends to be lacking most often? And maybe in the flip side of that, is there one that maybe trumps all the rest? I'm suspecting that love probably is the lead one. But what do you think?
Well, here's the thing. I think when we define love properly, Neil, if we have a clear, concise idea of what we mean by love, then that helps us know so much better when we need to step up and speak up and all this stuff. Here's how I love to define love, and this is in that book. Love is the commitment of my will to your needs and best interest, regardless of the cost. And listen, there's always been a price tag attached to showing love to somebody, and there's clearly one attached to being grandparents. And we do have to inconvenience ourselves. We may have to travel more. We may have to set aside more of our money to go out and connect with our kids that are across country. But it's worth it. But if we get that loved one right, don't you think the maturity, the experience, the perspective, and the assistance comes in a lot better?
Yeah,
but
really
don't you think though that one thing on assistance though, if we talk about an assistance, what about the money? How much do we help them financially? And this is a tricky one because I think our generation actually has more money and assets than any generation before in our country's history. Here's what we've tried to use the guiding principle. And that is our kids, we want to be able to offer a hand up to our kids, but never a hand out to our kids. In other words, if this can enable them to be able to better themselves or whatever, that's great. Be glad to do that. And then have you ever heard of Ron Blue, the writer on finances?
Yeah.
You know who he is, Ron Blue?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. And he gave us some great advice he said, our grandchildren don't need our money when we finally die and they're in their 50s or 60s. I mean, our children don't need our money when we finally die and they're in their 50s or 60s. They need it when they're young and they don't have any.
Yeah.
And that's where we can be shrewd about it, and obviously not bankroll them, but help them in ways that can really help them get much more of a solid footing under their family so that they can really take care of their kids better. And this is some things we can go into in a book, and how to play that dance.
We'll I think circle back to that one because that's an important one. Yeah. Let's take a call from Sherry though. Sherry's calling in and just has a story about her grandparents' influence. Sherry, you're on with Tim Kimmel. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for this book. It's long overdue. I want to express my thankfulness. My grandparents have been gone for 35 years, but oh my goodness, they were such spiritual giants in my life. Mm-hmm. And who I am today has everything to do with their existence. And my heart is so heavy for children that don't have that experience with their grandparents because it just leaves a hole in their heart. But anyway, they were just phenomenal in our life. They just always made time for us. We knew we were loved, and it just made us more secure growing up.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't that wonderful? What a gift. Well, talk about that. You know, they sang that song Legacy, and they left a legacy. I call it leaving a legacy that never dies. Because now they've given it to you, and now you can give it to your own your children and grandchildren.
And then one other question, and it's a hot button, I know, and I don't know how to say it. I have wonderful, wonderful grandkids. They've been in parochial schools now, and they had to make a school change. So they've been in school a week. But my precious granddaughter, she's lovely and spiritual. But someone gave her a Harry Potter book.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never read any of that material. I just heard all negativity about it. And she just adores me because I'm only her only living grandmother left. Of course, my husband, too. But she just thinks the world of me. And I have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with our son and daughter-in-law and my grandchildren. And I don't know how to tackle this issue. I've just been praying my heart out. But I don't know if I should tell her it's probably not good for her. Or I don't know how
Let's talk about it.
I think it's a great question. First of all, there are a lot of Christians that have read the Harry Potter books, and these things are very well written and clever and all that stuff. Here's what I'd suggest you do: if she wants to read it with her. Have a wise woman like you read these books with your granddaughter, and then you can see all the fun and the excitement and all the thrill of all the intrigue of the book, which is, I mean, they're popular for a reason. They're well written and all. But then you can also help her see past the other things of all the, you know, the magic and all that stuff that we understand is just fiction. It's not real. And I think that, I mean, that's a gutsy thing. See, most Christians let their fears lead the way. Once you lead your confidence in God and what he's done in your life, that you could be a very wise woman walking her through that series, and then she can get the benefits of it and not get caught in any of the traps. Because that's what we need to do for these kids. Instead of just saying, don't, help them walk through it. There's a minefield out there. We've been through it. Why don't we show them, okay, we can get you through this one.
Probably
not the answer you were looking for, but
no, that's good insight, and we'll talk more about how we can have influence, maybe in some effective ways that as grandparents can influence our grandchildren, and we'll get to some of the other questions, your questions and comments as well. We're talking grandparents today. By the way, congratulations to you if you had a great grandparents' day. Yesterday was your day. We're kind of extending it today. And love to have you join the conversation. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Dr. Tim Kimmel is on the line with us today. And he and his wife, Darcy, have written a new book called Extreme Grandparenting. And we'll hear more in just a moment, so stay tuned.
Grandma's hand clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hands used to issue.
We're talking grandparenting. Are you ready to take grandparenting to the next level? grandparents play an important role in the lives of their grandchildren, and we're talking about it today. And it's a great new resource called Extreme Grandparenting, written by Dr. Tim and Darcy Kimmel. The Kimmels are founders of Family Matters, a ministry dedicated to equipping families for every age and stage of life. They speak for Family Life Ministries, I Still Do, and Weekend to Remember events. And Tim and Darcy have written a number of books. We've got some copies of this one to give away as well. And we'd love to have you join the conversation. We talk grandparenting today and just dialogue with us a little bit about that. I want to talk about, we're talking with Sherry, her question about, you know, having some influence on her granddaughter. Maybe say a little bit more about some of the roles, some things that we can do, because you talk about three or four pretty key roles that grandparents are uniquely positioned to offer.
Yes. And by the way, can I mention to everybody listening that if you go to familymatters.net, that's familymatters.net, we actually have not only this book, but we have a small group Bible study. If some grandparents wanted to actually go in deeper into this book and really understand how they could have a bigger role in their own family and even in their church, they can go there and get that.
Okay.
We unpack four huge, wonderful roles we can play in our grandkids. The first role we need to play is that of giving a blessing to them. That we need to attach high value to each child and help them picture a hopeful future and encourage them as they grow in their faith and use their spiritual gifts and all that. And by the way, we need to do that with all the kids, even the ones that come in blended. We talk in the book how sometimes we've known grandparents that their kids have biological children, and something happens in the marriage and it goes south or whatever. They get remarried, and they don't treat the blended-in kids as their real grandkids, just the biological. They come with a birthday gift for their biological, but not the other kid, or Christmas. And Jesus made this so easy. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And so if you were this blended-in child that had nothing to do with this, and here comes grandparents giving a nice Christmas gift to your sibling, but nothing for you because, well, you're not blood, how would you feel? And does it sound like anything a person that's filled with the grace of God would ever want to do? I just look at it as we get a chance to expand our influence of love and grace and mercy to more kids. So we got to attach high, give them a blessing. And in the book, we go through three wonderful needs that we can meet in their life. We don't have time to go into those, but they'll see they're just powerful. And then the second one is the role is bearing a torch of the gospel to them. You know, the Olympic torch that they take from Mount Olympus every 4 years, and they pass it down from one hand, and runners from all around the world, they take it to wherever the Olympics going to be, right?
Yeah.
Now, either of you guys ever carried an Olympic torch?
No, that'd be something, though. Wow.
Yeah, I've never got a chance to do it. But here's the thing. If I ever got a chance to carry an Olympic torch, even if it's just a few hundred feet, here's the thing I would be thinking more than anything else. Whatever you do, Kimmel, do not drop this. Do not let this light go out. I mean, it's come a long way, and a lot of people are depending on you on the other side. And that's what grandparenting is. And we need to carry the torch of the gospel. But here's the key. We need to carry the torch of the gospel. We don't need to chase our grandchildren around with it. In other words, we don't need to ambush them every time they're at our house and really hard-press them about Jesus. That turns them off. The best way to bear a torch of the gospel is reflect. Reflect the gospel in the way we love them, in the way we live our lives. When that brings up the third one, that is setting a standard for our grandchildren of moral living in an immoral world. And what's sad is I've seen some people get into their twilight years, and a lot of the standards that they were taught, they just put aside as almost like figuring that, no, I don't have to go by those rules anymore. No, if anything, we want to stand even more clear for that. They need to see in us, I'll give you some standards that we outline in the book, a contagious faith, consistent integrity. In fact, get this, I was standing in a line one time in a movie theater, and I heard the man say to whoever was with me, he said, now you tell him that you're 13 and you tell him you're 14. And so I knew somebody was, a parent was telling their kids to lie about their age to get a cheaper rate. And of course, you know, I'm a minister, so that means I'm a self-appointed overseer of everybody's business. And so I turned around to give this person the stink eye, and to my amazement, it was a grandfather. It was a much older man taking his grandkids to the theater, and he was willing to sell their soul, to sell them out to dishonesty just to save a few bucks. They need to see consistent integrity in us and practical poise, personal discipline, things like that. And then the last role that we unpack in the book is leaving a legacy. And I love that the Nicole Norman song played there, that we're leaving tracks behind us. I lived in Pennsylvania as a little kid. And every once in a while, I'd have to stay with my grandparents for a couple of days. And one time it drifted real, a big blizzard came in. And my grandfather wanted to go down and see his son, my uncle, and their family. But we bundled me all up, but we had to go through some real thick snow. And I was only like 7, 8 years old. But what he did is he took real small, deliberate steps through the snow, and I just stayed right behind him. And I was able to make it through those huge drifts because I was following his footsteps. And I just think there's a lot of storm and stuff out there, and kids need somebody to follow. They don't need to see us panicking. They don't need to see fear-based people pull into their fourth quarter of life. They need to see people that are confident in the God that saved them, and the God that has carried us through this thing, and the God that is waiting for us with nail-scarred hands and open arms someday to welcome us home. They need to see us living like that and leaving a legacy that really touches home.
Key roles: giving a blessing, bearing a torch, setting a standard, leaving a legacy. We're talking about grandparenting today with Dr. Tim Kimmel. Our phone number is 877-933-2484. We've got time for some more questions if you'd like to join in, or maybe just talk about experiences you've had with grandparents, or maybe you are a grandparent and maybe need some advice for your grandchildren. That's what Debbie wants. She called in and asked this. She said, she wants to know some tips, Tim, on how she can stay close to her grandchildren that live out of state. What would you advise?
Well, the good news is that we have technology that the generation before us could never even have dreamt of. And obviously we have email and texting and FaceTime on our phones. But what I think is even better is that it's deliberate, and maybe you set some time. You make some appointments with the kid where you're going to call that child, let's say maybe every, and make sure it fits into their schedule every Thursday afternoon or whatever. And then I think texting them blessings, you know, like I know you have a big test today, honey. And I know you've been fretting about it, but you know what, your grandma or your granddaddy loves you and he has confidence in you. God's given you a great mind. And I just wanted you to know that I love you and you're going to do great on that. Something like that, a little text that they get on their phone. Let's say they're a high school student or a college student. And those are ways. And then I think we need to go see them if we have the finances to do it, to go see them. But what about when they come see us? Sometimes they come see us permanently, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, something goes bad in the family and marriage falls apart or somebody goes to prison. And there's actually millions of grandparents actually raising their grandkids right now. One thing I think we need to do is we need to make sure that they can feel like they're actually at home in our house. You know, because sometimes they come and they visit, and I think it's perfectly legitimate to say, hey, this is our home, and these are our standards, and this is what we go by, and that's fine. But when they come there, if they're going to come live permanently, let them decorate their room, let them listen to their music, that kind of a thing. It's a real dance there, but they need to sense grace. And you know what? Let's define grace, too, for everybody listening. Grace is giving somebody something they desperately need but may not necessarily deserve at the time. And we all need that. And our grandkids need that, especially when they've really lost their way in their maybe teenage years or something. They don't need criticism. They don't need ridicule. They don't need mocking. They just need us to love them and work them through it.
Yeah, it takes a little flexibility. Maybe we don't have the physical flexibility anymore, but to be flexible and willing to say, hey, we, you know, this furniture is not that important or whatever it might be.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's not that important. And, you know, we're traveling. My wife and I are traveling, and we have a granddaughter named Lydia, and she's 10 years old, and she just loves horses, but they don't have horses there, but she just loves them. So I'm going to the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and I see this kind of a T-shirt skirt type thing, and it has a beautiful horse on it, and it says Old West. Well, I was thinking of her. And so I went in and I bought that, and I'll give that to her. And when she knows, and this is something like if you're long distance, when a grandchild thinks, grandma or granddad was thinking of me, and he saw this, and he got this for me because he cares. Or you, let's say you have a grandson that really loves to fish, and you wish you could be there with him, but you're over at Bass Pro Shop, and you see he's a fly, and you see some great flies there, and so granddad picks him up, and he says, hey, I think you're going to tell me what kind of fish you catch on this one. I was just thinking of you. These kids feel value. And you know, that's so important to a kid, because right now they're in a world that grades them pretty harshly. And it's always putting perfection up there, and then they're just reminded how much they fall short of it. They need grandparents to come into their lives and guarantee them that no matter who they are and what they've done or what they've done wrong, they're always going to be loved. You know, kind of like how our Father in Heaven loves us.
Tim, that leads us into a conversation with Amy, who's calling from Jamestown, yeah, North Dakota, because she wants to know, we're talking about giving gifts to grandchildren. She wants to know about treating grandchildren equally. Amy, go ahead. You're on with Tim Kimmel.
Yeah.
Hi. My question for you is this. You know, you talked about the importance of treating grandkids equally, and I agree with that. We have a blended family of our own. Mm-hmm. So my question is, when we see grandparents not treating children equally, is there a way for us to respectfully bring that up?
Well, that's one of the things we bring up on the video series. Are these people in your church at all?
No.
Okay. Well, even if they're not, if you let's say did the DVD study on grandparents and invited them, hey, we're all grandparents, we're going to learn this together. It brings it up, and then that's an outsider. I can be the bad guy on it. I throw it out there, but. But how close are you to them? Are they good friends?
Well, it's my in-laws who, you know.
It's your in-laws. Okay. Yeah. I got it. Okay, that makes sense. Yes, that's very hard and painful. And you know, I think what you can do is you can offset some of the pain that those children may feel by the way you treat all of them with generous love. Even though a grandparent might be more showing favoritism. Is that what it is? They're favoring certain kids and not others?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Now sometimes that happens just because some kids live closer than other grandkids. That's not the case, though, right?
That's not the case, no.
Yeah, it's favoring one child in the same family over another.
So let me ask you, Tim, how important it is as grandparents do we sort of need to keep the ledger? It's like, well, we gave them, you know, X amount, so, you know, it has to be equal dollars or equal whatever. I mean, you can kind of, you know, parse that pretty thinly.
When we're trying to keep them equally, meaning we don't want to fall into the trap of clearly favoring one at the expense of the other. But for instance, I just said I saw something that I knew Lydia would like, and I got it for her. Well, she has a sister, Riley. I don't necessarily feel I have to get something for Riley because Riley doesn't. First of all, Riley's gotten things when we're thinking of her. We have a relationship with them where they hopefully see us as a gift to them and them as a gift to us. But obviously, I would not. Pick one of them out and dial in on them and forget the other. But Darcy's always getting cool stuff for those kids and fun stuff for them. But it's a dance.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would keep a money ledger as much as I would make sure that I'm not forgetting anybody. Because some kids, you know, some kids, they like tangible things. Other ones just like time. Other ones like show interest in what they're doing. But I think what she's brought up, though, is a very painful thing to watch when your in-laws are showing favoritism like this. But here's something that I think we've got to be careful not to do, too, is try to show up our in-laws. I would always encourage those kids to love those in-laws. I mean, those other grandparents, I should say, even though those other grandparents may be misguided on how they're loving the kids back. Always show that you are always the magnanimous, gracious person, and I think that'll carry the day.
Good. Amy, thanks for that call, and I hope that the book
Amy,
will be...
Amy, I'm sorry. I wish I could help Amy more. I wish I could, and I can. And I know that we really delve into that pretty clearly in the book. And the big thing is know those four roles. And if we're doing those consistently, those kids will know their love, even though another set of grandparents may not be doing it as effectively.
We'll take a quick break and come back, talk more with Tim Kimmel. We're talking about his book he and Darcy have written called Extreme Grandparenting. It's one of the dozens that they've written. Dr. Tim Kimmel and his wife Darcy are co-founders of Family Matters, a ministry dedicated to equipping families for every age and stage of life. You can find out more on their website, familymatters.net. And we'll get to your calls in a moment, 877-93-FAITH. Thank you today to grandparents. We salute you. Yesterday, Grandparents Day, and we just say God bless you. May you prosper and have great opportunities to invest in your children and grandchildren, and use the days that God gives you to be blessing and setting a standard and leaving a legacy and encouraging your kids. Mm-hmm. Talking today with Dr. Tim Kimmel. He and his wife, Darcy, are founders of Family Matters. She's written a number of books. You've probably, hopefully, read some of them, Little House in the Freeway or Grace-Based Parenting or 50 Ways to Really Love Your Kids. Or we're talking about extreme grandparenting. And Mary has a question. Mary, you're on. Tim Kimmel, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering if you could comment. I've been in and out, so perhaps you've already talked about this. Would you comment on the helicopter grandparenting that we hear so much about today? And secondly, as a baby boomer, I think the parents of these generations are totally spoiled brats because of the parenting. And is this being transferred now also? I am seeing this into grandparenting. We've raised six kids. They're all independent. They don't expect a dime from us. So we have some issues here. So thank you. I like listening to this.
All right.
Yeah. Good question. And indeed, helicopter is a hovering type parent or grandparent that is overseeing and it's an enmeshed relationship, and it's toxic. It does no one any good except the egos of the grandparents. And by the way, let me add a new one to you: the lawnmower parent or the lawnmower grandparent. That's for something that mows down anybody that gets in the way of their grandkids or whatever. That is not reflective of the heart of Jesus Christ. And I think she's absolutely right. Our job is to raise people to stand on their own two feet and ultimately walk with God on their own. And we undermine that. My father made it easy for us kids to know about independence because he had these two rules. He said, he told us when we were young, here's two rules I want you to always abide by. I want you in by 12, and I want you out by 18. And we knew when 18 was coming, we had to be ready to go. But she's right. And I think finances and technology have fed a lot of this stuff, but we need to go by what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us to raise people to ultimately stand on their own two feet and walk independently with the Lord, but away from us. So I think it's a lot of an ego thing, if anything. It's a good question, though.
Tim, I know that one of the things that we sort of touched on about leaving a legacy, setting a standard, has to do with just we want to have spiritual influence on our grandkids most of all. And I know you've got a story or example of maybe how that has happened in your own life.
Yes, when we had just one grandchild, it was Easter Sunday, our daughter was singing in Easter at church, and our son was running the soundboard, so they asked if they could drop the baby off early at our house, and we'll bring the baby to church. Great. Glad to do it. But when we got there, both Darcy and I wanted to carry the baby in because we're so proud of this new baby. And we were having this kind of taffy pool there driving it, and I talked to her and said, hey, let me carry her in. You go get a seat, and then you get to carry her out. There's more time there. But so I dropped Darcy off, but I went to park the car, and the baby had fallen asleep in her little car seat thing, And so I thought, well, I'll let her take a nap. And then a song came on, guys, that I think all of us remember, a Simon and Garfunkel song called Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Remember that song?
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful song. And this ballad, and I hadn't heard in a while. I thought, well, I'll let him sing a lullaby to her before I take her in. And I heard these words, and I thought they were so telling for our role as grandparents and leaving a legacy. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side when times get rough and friends just can't be found. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. And I just thought, what a serenade and theme song for our role as grandparents. And that brings up my favorite verse on this, because we're probably going to have to land the plane here ourselves, guys, aren't we?
Yeah, eventually, but, yes.
but my favorite verse on this is Psalm 71, 17 and 18, and I think it captures what that song was about. Since my youth, O God, you've taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come.
Those are powerful words, and you know, we'll, next time we hear that song, we'll be reminded again of our special role. I'm wondering, Tim, we've got a couple minutes left, just to,
yes.
There are some grandparents today that are maybe dealing with regret, and I know you address that as well as forgiveness in the book. Say a word about forgiveness and regret.
Yeah. Sometimes the regret is the role we played in our kids' lives. And because of that, we may be estranged to them, or they're having a hard time wanting to let us into their kids' lives, our grandchildren, just because of the residue. I think we need to. It falls to us, the older generation, to own our mess first and foremost, and admit it, and come to them and ask for forgiveness, and say, you know, as I look back over my life, I really feel that I packed some baggage in your life that I really regret. I'm so sorry about that. And I just want you to know I care very much for you, and I am very sorry. And I would love for us to have a relationship that maybe I should have initiated a long time ago, but I need now. And help break that ice and build our new relationship there. Because we can come along, and I've seen grandparents play an incredible spiritual impact on their grandkids that they didn't have a clue how to play as parents. Well, that's part of the thing of growing up. But part of it is, but it starts with owning our mess, confessing our part of it, and not looking for them to confess it. Just say, I'm sorry. I want to be a good father and mother to you in these years, and I want to be a good grandparent to your kids because I love them and I love you.
So did you settle on who gets to take the baby to church? Kind of after that. I mean, are you still switching?
Well, what's interesting is I did get to carry the baby in, but I'll tell you what, I was carrying that baby with tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
As I thought about that bridge over troubled waters thing, and then I went into a wonderful Easter service, and we came out, and we went to pick the baby up at the nursery, and so people our age were watching the nursery, and these were people that saw Elvis Presley and the Beatles and all that stuff. And there's 60s people, and they raised their kids well. And I thought, what a great thing that they're there in the nursery. And here are these grandparents, they're giving, pouring that wisdom into other people's grandkids and as well as their own. We have a chance to make a huge difference, folks. All of you people that are grandparents out there, just know God has put you in a strategic position to touch a generation. As Neil Postman says, our children and grandchildren are a gift we send to a time we will not see. And we can't waste this chance because we're running out of time. We're in the fourth quarter, and we need to use our time wisely for God's kingdom by showing the agents of his grace to these children.
Amen. Dr. Tim Kimmel joining us today on Connecting Faith. I encourage you to check out their website for the resources. You can get a copy of Extreme Grandparenting there, or some of the other books he's written, the videos, the DVDs. You'll hear him on programs like Focus on the Family and Family Life Today and other places. And I hope that next time that he's in your area doing a seminar, grace-based parenting or whatever it might be, that you'll make it a point to attend and just be encouraged. Tim, thank you so much for encouraging us today and giving us some great insights.
You're welcome, guys. And, it's been an honor talking with you guys. I appreciate it.
And congratulations, grandparent Kimmel. Hope you enjoy the five when you get back home.
So. We will.
All righty. See you later.
See you, friend.
Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith today. Talk extreme grandparenting. If you missed part of the program, of course, you can always hear it again, the podcast we post after the show. And pass it on to a friend, too. It's myfaithradio.com. And then click on Connecting Faith. And remember, our share begins tomorrow.